Blog Talk Radio.
You are now logged in to GrudgeInc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.
Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in. Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs, being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
At the Breadman one time. Man, man, man. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. We're still getting callers in here to hopefully we have a great show this morning. This is the Breadman last show of 2013. Hopefully my last show without a race car. Definitely, definitely hope that. I'm sure everybody got a lot to tell today. I'm going to just keep it real. I want people that has not been on the air to hit the one button and just say hello and some good positive feedback on, you know, what you're looking to do for 2014. That's the type of show we're going to have. And who you looking to, what goals you're going to set for yourself. As far as that's concerned as well, who you looking to engage with would be great as well. With that being said, let me go ahead and let me grab this one right here. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brett, man.
There he is, folks. My man, Jimmy Marino. Good morning,
Jim. What's going on? I didn't get the button today.
I know I'm actually for some reason. Oh, here it is. I just found it.
Oh, I knew you'd find it.
I found it. How was your Christmas, sir?
It was all right.
Great.
How about you?
Oh, man. I look forward to next year. I really do. I hope I can make it to next year and see it again. Cold.
Right.
It was very cold, and it was just, it wasn't, you know, snowy and all that, but it was cold. So I can deal with it. Oh, yeah.
I think it was 85 here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's pretty, it's kind of nice to have Christmas and the sunny weather of vacation all in one, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Really must be nice. But listen, hang in there, and let me go ahead and get the inspirational vitamin, the last one of 2013. Read this so. Joy in God's presence. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever, from Psalms 84, 1 and 2. It also reads, far too often we envy people because they have things that we lack. We forget that material things do not determine our joy and that they can never give true satisfaction and contentment. Only a healthy relationship with God can ensure that you will have eternal joy. Praise God for the blessings that he gives his faithful children, great protection, prosperity, honor, and joy. God holds any good things from those who are obedient to him. He will supply all your needs out of the riches of his grace. Give him thanks for his goodness and bountiful grace. With that reading, I'm going to go into prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for allowing us to have another blessed Monday to enjoy and fellowship with one another. I want to ask that you continue to watch over us for the upcoming year. Allow us to fellowship on New Year's, be responsible. Allow us to just move our goals so that they would challenge even ourselves, O Heavenly Father. I ask right now that you continue to bless the sick and shed in. Continue to bless those who are striving to help themselves. Continue to help the homeless. Continue to allow us to reach inside of our hearts and do more than we've done in 2013. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bring loved ones together that haven't seen each other for years. I ask that you continue to heal the world as it is, as it did, O Heavenly Father. Continue to show that love is the true way. I ask that you do all these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all for allowing me to just pray and read scriptures to you in 2013. I ask that you allow me to do it. I make it there, Lord willing, I would say. Mr. Jim, what do you have for us today, my sir?
Just another day in paradise down here in Florida, trying to do a little work. I haven't been on the show in a few weeks. I was just, I didn't know if any TikTok subjects came up in the past few weeks. And if there's anything that the callers were looking to touch on specifically, I haven't really come up with a subject. I actually just decided to call in last minute. I've had a lot going on, and so I didn't really plan a subject for today. But I know, Brett, if we had anything come up in the past few weeks.
Well, the hot topic at hand is, which I do have several different chassis guys calling in here momentarily. I would say I'm looking for the hands. If you guys don't know, press 1 if you are one of the chassis guys in which I reached and talked to. Press the 1 button. I can see your hand fly up. We got East Coast Chassis maybe on the line, and Teddy Hoosier race cars coming in to describe to us what they feel a back half suspension car is. That's been the topic at hand.
Well, a back half and a stock suspension are two different things to me.
Well,
or are you saying they're two different?
Well, that's the question. Back half, when they people are saying they have a stock suspension car, just take the 29 tire class that, you know, everybody's on 29. And they, you know, to be on 29, that class started with a stock suspension mock-up. And now you got four Lincoln ladder bar cars running in that class. So what we've been hearing is stock suspension back half car.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's my thing, and I heard you say Teddy Hauser's name. He's coming on. You know, this is what I've always said, and it is no way, shape, or form reflective of what anyone believes today, but except for me. I think I'm the only one in the world that believes this anymore, but you know, back in the day, you could look in, I don't care if it's Chris Alston or Chassis Engineering or Jerry Bickle or, you know, any of these chassis builders that sold parts books, and you could order a back half kit. And basically, it was a kit from the rear cross member where the four-link bracket would go or a ladder bar bracket or anything from that point back to the back of the car, shock mounts, all that. And that was a back half kit. So to me, and I've always believed this, that a back half car was someone who took one of those kits or fabricated their own similar to it and went from the rear cross member, which was behind the driver's seat, back. Now they obviously put a cage in the car as well, and they tied it into the floor, or the frame, depending on what type of car it was, unibody or full frame car. And you put a back half kit in your car, and that rear cross member back, and you got a back half car. Now, they also sold what they called three-quarter kits, which was three-quarter of the chassis. It was basically firewall back, stock firewall, cut it off right behind the firewall, and it was a chassis car with new frame rails, basically a full chassis car with a stock firewall, and that was considered a three-quarter chassis car. Had stock style front suspension, typically. And that was a three-quarter car. Then you got a chassis car, which was a full-blown chassis kit. New front suspension to rear suspension, full-blown chassis car. Those were your levels of purchasing kits or fabricating your own of a car. Nowadays, what we're seeing people calling back-half cars are chassis cars. They're no different than a top sportsman car. They really are. And most of these guys, I think, will agree, you know. So a back-half car doesn't mean everything behind the front bumper. That's not the back-half of the car. So it's very confusing when you look at cars like that. But, again, I don't quite see the difference between the top sportsman cars and what – a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people are calling their car a back half car. They're pretty much the same car. So, you know, that's just my take on it. Figured I'd throw that out there. To me, if you come to me and say I got a back half car, you got a car from a rear cross member back half.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like, because what I'm seeing the trend of is, in grudge racing, okay, I'm seeing where, you know, my take of grudge racing is run what you brung to win, you know, what you have. And now, you know, you find a lot of grudge racers speaking on the behalf of sit like me. You know what I mean? That's basically saying that you're classifying yourself as saying, hey, in order for me to race, You need a tire my size, an engine my size, and you need to sit like me, the same weight or whatever. And it's classifying everything. So now that... go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
And what I've been seeing, the trend is when these individuals, say the 29 tire, this is the 29 tire class. Well, in 29, it was stock suspension. Well, what started dominating the classes was these ladder bar four-link cars because they had 29s on their car. And I think what was happening is because of the participation of the class at hand, no one was coming out trying to run that class. And they started merging these classes, realizing that, you know, a stock suspension can run with a ladder bar, or a stock suspension may be able to run with a four-link car. It depends what, you know what I mean, who it was or what caliber they were at. And that's what I started seeing that started happening. Once they started merging the classes, once we started allowing that to happen, that's what caused the misconception in which we have right now. What do you feel about that?
Well, it definitely has. And there's two parts to that. First of all, the stock suspension and ladder bar and four-link beam. Well, my opinion is, not sure my opinion, I'd love to hear from other people and get theirs, that the geometry, the way chassis work and rear suspension works, I don't think that a ladder bar car has any advantage over a stock suspension car, which is what started that whole deal. I think that in the way a ladder bar works, in the way the instant center lays out and everything else, and how much limitation you have versus what is available in stock suspension stuff nowadays, I don't see where a modified stock suspension car with all these bolt holes they're putting in and everything else is not better than a ladder bar. Now, with that being said, neither one is anywhere close to a four-link car. In what ability you have to change bite, to change, to control bite, to make consistency, to make the car do what you want it to do as easily. Now, I'm not a chassis builder nor a stock suspension tuner when it comes, especially the stock suspension. I mess around some four-link stuff, but so maybe I'm off there and they can do all that. But from what I've seen, a four-link still has quite an advantage over any ladder bar car or stock suspension car. I see a stock suspension and a ladder bar actually being really close to equal, if not ladder bar having a disadvantage. But four-link by far is a whole different ballgame. And it has to do with leverage and the length of the bars. And I've talked to a lot of people, and it's been explained to me numerous times, but it has to do with the length of the four-link bar versus stock suspension. It has the four points, but it's got the short upper bars that affects its ability to leverage the chassis, if I say that correctly. So that's the first part of that, what I say. And, yes, it's evolved. Like any classification, they evolve. I mean, I remember when I started racing, we ran the Outlaw 10.5 class back in the day, and I worked with on some cars. And that's when I first started in this thing. We were going to World Street Nationals with Outlaw 10.5 cars, and every one of those cars was a true back half car when we started. It was a back half kit, all of them. And Billy Glidden was coming out there, and back then, his car was a back half kit, even though it had a small block with a clutch and all the other stuff. They were all back half cars. Then it evolved into three-quarter cars. Then it evolved into basically full chassis cars with front suspension. And it's always going to evolve because someone's always looking to build a better car to win the class. You're never going to stop the evolution. you make a set of rules, it's up to the racer to figure a way around them. And they do. With that being said, I'm going to move back to what the whole thing started with I lost my train of thought. Where you started with on the
stock suspension.
On stock suspension. Now,
right.
Stock suspension is the same thing. They've evolved from bolt-in parts with stock location points to people building basically chassis and welding brackets with 5-6 holes on them and being able to move them around like a 4-link, and there's nothing stock about them anymore. Except for if you ask the guy, he'll tell you, yeah, those are in the stock. Those bolt holes line up with what was factory, and you got to take his word for it. They've got 10, 12 bolt holes on the rear end housing, moves the adjustment, bolt holes on the chassis. You can move anywhere you want to go. You can do anything you want to do. It's a chassis car with stock type suspension, factory type suspension, but far from factory. And what happens to all these classes over time is we develop new classifications to try to limit it back. One we talked about recently at a race, Quick Rick Old School Outlaws doing down in Palm Beach on February 1st, we've talked about some classifications that would really get a lot of grassroots racers to be able to run some stuff competitively. And one idea I had was stock wheel tubs. You know, because people are going to – you can't limit it so much that you're limiting the amount of racers that could show up, but you want to keep it fair. You know, and say, look, if you modified, moved, touched, unwelded, rewelded, mini tub, anything in your car, you're out. If you've got a stock wheel tub in the rear that's unmodified, then there you go, you're in. Any motor, any tire that you can fit in that stock wheel tub, you're in. Because if you think about it, anyone that's done all these things to get around the rules, in doing so have modified their wheel tubs. You can only put so much tire in a stock wheel tub. But that's a good limiting factor. We also talked about a OEM radial tire class, meaning if it came on a car and you can buy it at Pep Boys or Tire Kingdom or any of the tire shops as an OEM replacement tire, you're in. You've got a Corvette, it comes with whatever factory tires on it, you're in. You put a drag radial on it, you're out. You race prep your tires and soak tires and all that, not acceptable. An OEM tire class, run what you brought. I'm just trying to think of ideas that could get it back to allowing the grassroots racing, the guy racing on a real budget, just going out having fun, can compete and fit into something. Those would be, you know, classifications that really, I think, are the next thing coming.
I think that one of my points in which I want to throw out there to the listeners is, how do we get back to the point in which we are recognizing that the class is going away when we really blow a class up? Look at every class that we've basically had. I mean, these guys get in these classes and they stay around for a year and a half or 2 years until one guy with the biggest pocket start dominating, and next thing you know, that class is gone. We can't, you know, the average Joe can't afford it. How can we mandate the rules? And which I'm going to give a solution to how we can mandate it. I am going to give my opinion on it. But how can we come to a point to where we can mandate when and where these rules are getting set and who's letting them get to the point? How can we do that, Jim?
I'm willing to listen to your answer. I don't think we can. I think you're never – listen, there's smart people out there. Typically, the people racing – The people making the rules will never want to admit this, but the people building the cars and racing the cars are smarter than the guys racing the rules, making the rules. So, because they're always going to be ahead of the curve. They're not going to fold their hand too quick. They're going to, they're thinking, you know, they're reading a set of rules. It's no different. We're working with a customer right now looking to want to go run an Outlaw 632 class. And the first thing was topic of conversation started was, well, let's look at the rules and let's look at what we can do since we're starting from scratch to run a class that has a written set of rules. What is the best combination that we can feel we can win with? And, you know, it allows small blocks, it allows clutches, it allows fuel injection, it allows certain things, but there is a pretty strict set of rules behind it, weight-wise and all that, but you have to really weigh out all the options and decide. And you know, in that set of rules, they've been well thought out. But it didn't take long for us to come up with a package that we feel could absolutely dominate the competition by reading that set of rules. Well within the rules, no cheating, fitting them to a T, but taking advantage of every opportunity within those rules that we can. So I think when you can't really, I don't think you'll ever, you can come up with a rules package that doesn't allow it, because somebody is going to work within those to make themselves better than the next guy, or they wouldn't be racers.
Well, my opinion is, take for instance, we have a lot of people that listen in to Grudge Inc. and these Grudge shows, but that's all they're going to do is listen. They're not going to key in and give their opinion on really the truth about the matter. And what I'm getting at is we have more people that can voice an opinion off of the air, then we have more people that's willing to give one when it counts. And I'm coming at y'all today. Yes, I am, because this is the last show of the year, and I'm asking y'all, don't be entertained. Come out here and do something and speak on the matter so that we can take it to the right people and get this stuff squared away. I mean, take, for instance, earlier this year, we had a situation where they were speaking on the top sportsman bill, how it was supposed to be done, or the top sportsman rules. There weren't any rules implemented, but because only two people stood up, only two people really stood up and said something, you know what I mean? No one else did, but everyone was making remarks about it, but no one ever would step up and say really how we felt, so that it will put pressure on the people to implement the rules right then and let all that other stuff be down the road. But that's how the world is. You know, we want to sit back and make opinions about things, but we're not going to step up and do things. And I do know that everybody feel like, well, it ain't my problem. But if you are in the world of drag racing, it is. It is, because it may not have affected you yet, but it will. That's my opinion. What do you think about my opinion, Jim?
No, I agree. And people all want to give their opinion in the audience. They want to give it in, and they're not willing to always share it in front of an open forum. You know, it's nature of the human is, you know, we all want to critique what someone else does wrong, but a lot of times we won't say what we think because in fear of someone's going to say we're wrong or someone's going to disagree with us. We want to feel like we're smarter than the next guy. I think that's, so we'd rather find something wrong with what someone else says than actually voice what our true opinion is. It's the negativity in the game. It's the hating in the game. And I don't know how you get away from it.
Well, what I'm asking each individual that's listening out there to start standing up for something and don't fall for everything you hear. Good God, that sounded pretty good, Jim.
Yep. Hey, I wanted to jump back on. I knew I'd lost my train of thought earlier, but you brought up something earlier that I just want to jump back on. And you said about the sitting like me and I got to have a motor like you and a tire like you and all that. And I really have an opinion on that because I've fallen into that quite a few times. But
okay.
For, on my personal level, from a personal standpoint, what I see causing that, you know, grudge racing comes from a background of, I don't want to say I don't like you, but I may not like what you stand for. I don't like what you have to say, or I just want to be better than you. And I'm going to run you. And I see what you got sitting over there, and I don't give a damn about it. I'm going to beat you. And I think I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing of, you know, and I fell into it with Tree Man right before Orlando talking about it. I think a lot of that has to, you have to sit like me stuff comes from, at least from my standpoint where I'm at, comes from exactly what we're doing now. We're talking on a radio show. Grudge racing is spread out. It's not the people in your town and two towns nearby grudge racing, and we see each other's cars, and you've seen that car go down the racetrack, and I'm going to jump on him. Now we've got cars all over the country. We're talking to people in Texas. I'm using Tree Man as an example. And from my example is, I couldn't have told you what color his car was. So, of course, you know, I'm not going to jump on somebody that I know nothing about and have no idea what they've got and no idea what level they're at. You know, and say, yeah, let's lock in because we're on a show. We're on a radio show. You know, it comes from these radio shows. It comes from the internet. It comes from the whole technology and spreading this road racing nationwide that people don't always know what the other person, what's going on in the grudge racing community, in different communities of grudge racing. So now everyone's nervous about what kind of trouble they may be getting themselves into. And quite frankly, thank God I did, because I can't run with that Tree Man car. I'm glad I didn't jump on that thing and say, let's lock it in. I'm glad I threw the stipulations out there that I did when a couple different people brought me running that car up. That car's way out of my league. And I would never try that car if it was sitting around the corner and I knew it. I want to say I'd never try that car. I'd try that car in a second in certain situations. And I'd try it in the same situations I would try a Mike Hill with his ProMod car or a Mike Stavrinos or a Edmund Hall. In certain situations, I'd jump on him with my silver car. It would have to be in those situations. It would be in a place like going to what we saw in St. Petersburg. Things like that. So you're gonna jump on somebody and be willing to race somebody even if they're out of their league if you feel like you're better on that given day. But in those conditions, it all has to do with conditions. But in general, on a good racetrack, you've got to be really careful what you're getting yourself into. So this whole like I said, told, you know, what motor you have, what it all depends on people not knowing who other people are, I think, more than anything. And that comes with the nature of the beast of this thing going, this grudge racing thing going more open nationwide, people traveling and going to races a lot more and all that. You know, you really can't get around it because you don't know who you're dealing with.
I see your point. I really do. And I guess from what I hear, you know, the way that you are explaining it is quite clear. But want to put it out there that what you're basically saying, what let me say what I'm receiving from you is, a lot of times with grudge racing, you know that you can't run with the tree man car, but if you've seen him at a track that you thought he couldn't get down, then you jump on him. So in other words, you know what I mean? When you are out there looking for your man that you want to try that day, you know what I mean? He would have been your man at that particular track, is what you're saying, either of them that you named.
Yeah, it comes down to this whole lock it in thing, lock it in over the phone, lock it in over the radio. Listen, when I started Rudge Racing, and I don't do this anymore because I've seen too many things and heard about too many things, but, you know, happening, but it is where I think most of us started was, it was on Sunday afternoon at Park Road, and you knew you had a grudge with somebody, a grudge with somebody, so you didn't play driving, but you got out to the road, and everyone talked trash, and you made something happen. You locked in some money right there. Let's do it right now. And that's how it went down. And now everyone wants to, there's so much trickery in the game. It's gotten away from, you know, it just a race, people having a grudge against each other and walking up to each other and saying, let's do something, you know, or a little trash talking, let's do something, to everyone's got to lock it in over the phone so they can trick somebody into something. And even if they're not trying to, the perception and the opportunity is there that they may be trying to trick somebody into something, whether they are or aren't, because it happens all the time. The trickery happens all the time. And you know, it's nothing different than the few people who were calling me. And quite frankly, Treeman and I, we talked a couple times, but our conversations were very straightforward and civil. It was other people trying to get involved and set up a race, but set up, trick somebody, and I feel like I was trying to be tricked into, after seeing what that car was, trying to be tricked into running somebody that was out of my league, because that's what the whole game has become, a bunch of trickery. And, you know, listen, Treeman drove his way to Florida because he wanted to race. I don't think he had a locked-in race with anybody when he drove there. Now, I understand you're traveling halfway across the country and you want to lock something because you don't want to drive halfway across the country, get there, can't find a race, and turn around and drive home and do nothing. No one wants to do that. But let's face it, when we were going out to the back road on Sunday afternoon or Saturday night, we went out there because we wanted to go out there. We went out there because we wanted to go race. We might or might not get a race, but we traveled to do so. I think the shootouts are a great thing because of that, because you could at least go to a track hoping to get a grudge race, but if you don't, there's shootouts and stuff that you could probably get into. You know whether there is or isn't before you head over there. And worst case, you jump into a shootout and you can run that if you can't find a grudge race.
Well, we got a couple hands up, Jim, not to cut you off.
That's my whole take on it. That's just my opinion.
Let's see what these couple hands are going to say. Maybe they have a tech question for you. Hold on, let me get them in here.
Okay.
Caller 404-1304. Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all gentlemen doing?
Oh, we're doing good. How are you?
Doing great. I just want to make a comment on the grudge raising thing. That, you know, I think the lock-in thing came in, like you said, when these guys started doing a lot of traveling for nothing. You know, if somebody says they're going to race, you show up, and then they just really want to see where you stand at. You know, you might be out of their league or something like that, or they want to see where you stand at. So we did a lot of traveling for nothing back in the days, and I think that would a lock-in thing start coming in for you, at least cover your gas, cover your expense or something. You got a lot of crowd, people that are, say they're going to race you, and you get there, they don't want to do nothing. They're trying to see where you stand at. You don't travel for nothing. So that's why I feel like a lot of the lock-in stuff came in. And as far as, like, grudge racing, I think the biggest thing that running grudge racing is the money. Everybody want to outbid everybody, and everybody's scared to get that L.
Yep, I agree. And I don't disagree with that whole lock-in theory. You know, if you've got a guy, maybe you ran him once before at the track, and we're going to run it back, and you don't want to waste your trip, and you're going to lock it in because you no one wants to waste their trip, man, I completely understand that. You both know who each other are, and you know what you're getting yourself into for the most part. And there's nothing wrong with that. But this whole blind lock-in and ghost cars and the trickery side of it, that's what it's about. The trickery is what screws up the whole lock-in thing. Because I do understand no one wants to travel for nothing. But it has turned into a big trickery game.
That's why the game came in at, to me. You know, it's like, you know, I got to say he got a backhand car, but he showed up with a pro mod car. So, you know, back when we grew up raised, technology wasn't good like it was. Wasn't no internet. You called people and heard about people, and you tried them. But the reason back then we tried a lot of people because everything was a reasonable bet. You know what I'm saying? You bet what you could afford to lose. And I think that'd be the biggest problem right there. A lot of guys try to outbet the other guy. You know, a lot of guys don't want to get no loss. But at the end of the day, I mean, somebody got to win, somebody got to lose. You know, and somebody going to win somebody, somebody going to lose somebody. When guys keep everything on an even playing field for us, the money, you know, the trash talking, get a little personal sometimes, you know, they taking everything away. We used to grudge raid with some guys, beat them every Sunday down at Phoenix City, and everybody had a good time. We lost some, we won some, but at the end of the day, everybody left and had a good time. But didn't nobody bet nothing stupid or crazy to where when you lost, you want to cuss people out and all that type of stuff. You're out of character. But, you know, I think, with the grudge raising thing, that's my opinion. You know, there's a nice, sensible bet. And, you know, if that man's sensible bet ain't what your sensible bet is, you need to leave him alone.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you heard of nowadays somebody saying, you know who you're running? They lock you over the phone and say, hey, run your shirt. And then you get to the racetrack, you locked it in, and he went and showed up with a Camaro. It ain't the same Camaro you always knew they had. They showed up with a brand new Pro Mod Camaro you never know they had. You went pocket.
Breaking up real bad, Jim.
$25.
You're breaking up real bad, Jim. Hold on 1 minute.
Oh, I'm driving through a bad area.
Get this next caller in here. Let me get this next caller in here. They might have a question. 404-2900.
Hey, what's up, Brad, man? What's up, Jimmy? Get over there for me. What's going on out there? How y'all doing this morning? Boy, you don't sit down, I'm going to whoop your butt with this belt. What's up, Brad, man?
Oh,
that's you. What's up, Jimmy? Jimmy, long time to hear from you, Jimmy.
What's going on? How you doing, my brother?
I'm all right. I just called in, see y'all, I'm listening to you, and see how everything's going.
Yeah.
Well, I do have
But I'm glad you're on the phone, because that's a perfect example of my point is, you know, we talk trash on the radio shows, you got you me and Stone Cold, and you know you're there, and you're and when it comes down to it, we both get to the racetrack, we negotiate a race, we put the race off. Because I didn't think I was going to lose, and I hope to believe that you didn't either, and you did come up victorious, and well deserved. That's how I see grudge racing should be. We met up, we made a deal, we ran the race, the winner won, the loser lost, and we moved on. We actually tried to do it again later that weekend. But I at least knew what car you had, what I was getting myself into, and so did you. It wasn't a bunch of tricks, and that's my whole point to this. There wasn't a bunch of tricks about you, Stone Cold, saying, for example, okay, we're going to run you with our Camaro, against your Camaro, and you show up with my car, and we locked in, you know, $2,500 on $10,000, and I think I'm running the black car, and I end up running, you show up the blue car, and, it, you know, and that stuff happens all the time. And that's the trickery I'm talking about is that's against people not wanting to, at least me, not wanting to lock anything in over the phone or over the radio show or anything else because, you know, listen, we all go there and I think everyone knows I want to race. And I know you guys want to race. So when we get there, we make something happen. But when it's over the radio show or something and you don't know who you're talking to and what you're dealing with, it you just assume someone's trying to trick you into something all the time.
What's your take on that, nephew? I think a lot of these radio shows and these YouTube, this ain't nephew, this shorty, but I think a lot of people ego get the best of them too now. You know, you got a man on their talk show and you kind of stick your chest out and you know, that don't nobody want to be kind, no kind. We ain't going to let no man talk to me that way. Yeah, we'll lock it in. When in reality, you don't lock that song that you really don't want to lock in. So you just, you know, need to stay in your league. And even like when nephew there went down now, it was just the weekend at the end of the day. He did a good job driving. Stone gave him a good piece of equipment to drive, and Mike gave him a good tune-up to win. You know, it was a good combination. They might go somewhere else and can't get down the track that week. You know, a lot of winning is when it meant for you. You know, it's just your time.
That's a valid point. That's a valid point. I wanted to touch base also while we're here. I want to ask, how can we stop? You know, if I tell a guy all I got to run for is $1,000. And they turn around and up it to $2,000. How can we stop that? How can we stop that from happening?
You can't stop it because, you know, you can't put a limit on what a man want to run his car for. You know, some people might say they got a minimum of 5. Another man may say they got a minimum of 10. If you can't meet their minimum, then you just need to leave them alone.
But I'm asking you a question. This is why I'm asking this. Hey, I want to run next to you. And nephew told me $2,000. Okay, and I know that nephew is over there by itself. I'm back over there. I see nephew make a pass. I make a pass. I go over there. I ain't got but $2,200 to my name, but I go over there and tell nephew, no, I want to run for $5,500 now. You know what I mean? And I really knew I could not run nephew, but I'm going to go over there and jack up the price like that because I don't want to really go to nephew and tell him, hey, I can't run you. I'm not man enough or have the balls to go over there and say, hey, you outdo me. I'm going to save my little money. I don't think I'm going to do anything. And because Pro Stock Joe got his camera on me, I'm going to sit up there and make it look like I got all the money in the world when I don't. Nah, that's what I'm referring to.
That's where the ego comes in.
Exactly.
That's where ego comes in.
My opinion, back in the day when we used to lock Gruitt Razors in, we went inside the trailer, and the two owners or the two money men went and talked and came back out. And whenever they talked about, wasn't no camera, didn't nobody know about it. You know, it was just... Now, you know, you're standing in a crowd, bet this, bet that. It's an ego thing, you know, and it is what it is, but at the same time, it just, you know, the money man or whoever, they need to get together and sit down and talk, and whatever they come up with, they come up with. If they don't, they don't. If they can make it work, they do. If they don't, they don't. But, I mean, it's always going to be people out there want to outbet the other person, you know, because of stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's true, and I think
everyone's got to stay in their lane when it comes to the money thing. Stay in where you can fit, because if you know, use that example. If Nephi said, "No, we want to run for $5,000," and I told him I only want to run for $1,500, that's all I can do. Well, then we can't get it all. So But I promise you that by the end of the weekend or the end of the day, if Nephew ain't got another race for what he wants, he's probably going to come down to me and say, hey, I'll take that $1,500 race because I can take that or take nothing. So, you know, I'm gonna come down and not running for $5,000, even though that's my minimum. I ain't got nothing. I've got nothing else going on, so I might as well at least get a race off. And it may not, you know, I would think that it would make sense if that's how it would go down. You drove all the way there. You went to the racetrack. You'd probably, even though it might not be what you want to run for, you'd step down to the guy who's only got the $1,500 to bet to get to go ahead and get it off. To do something.
Well, my opinion about that, a lot of guys make a minimal because a lot of these grudge cars is just more state of the art is so your pro mod cars. A lot of them got, you know, just a nice motor, just a nice setup or whatever. So, you know, with that being said, you know, guys got good money invested in these cars, they just playing out simple, you know, this is my minimal. I'd rather lose $5,000 instead of trying to win $1,500, go out there and tear my car up, go out there and tear my motor up, and that $1,500 ain't going to help me none. But at least if I, you know, won $5,000, I can get this done. Or if I lose $5,000, then, you know, that's what I came to do. So, I mean, that's why guys got minimal because, you know, it's just like anything. It's my minimal. If you can't meet it, then we just, it ain't going to work. And a lot of people don't realize a lot of times the people that own the cars don't make a lot of money off the grudge racing because they don't let their buddies put money in. They don't let a man on the fence put money in. And then when the car wins, they over there cheer and come over there and let me get my money out of the pot or whatever. But, you know, a lot of the owners ain't putting all the money up. A lot of them, you know, they got other people that help them back. You got your friend over here. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if it were me and somebody was putting their money in my pot, I'm going to take something out for the car to drive.
I agree. You know, always did that. That was you know, I ran some partnership deals with people, different people through the years, and that was always the deal is 20%. Anyone who got in the pot, and we'd run $10,000 pots, anyone who got in the pot, 20% got peeled off immediately for the car and the driver out of everyone's cut. And everyone knew that when they were getting in the pot. Now, some people decided they didn't want to put their money in the pot and they wanted to side bet it, so they didn't have to peel off the 20%, but I think that comes down to greed because if the pot don't get up, the race don't happen. So, you know, everyone's got to kind of, you got your group, everyone should put their money and be happy to give up their, in our case, 20%. That's part of being with that team.
And see, sometimes the guys in your entourage get you in trouble. You know, you might not want to run a guy, but he over there talking, you know, we're going to lock this in, we're going to lock that in. You know, it just, you know, sometimes, you know, your entourage can get you a raise that you didn't want neither.
Oh, yeah, that's happened.
You know.
That's happened.
But, I mean, I said it many times. Brad, I said it last year, the year before last. When people start making a nice, sensible bet, you can see more grudge raising. And, I mean, we just go to Phoenix City every Sunday, and you're going to see 4 or 5 grudge raising, go to Applebee's afterwards, then come on home. Win or lose. It was fun. And, you know, you made a nice, sensible bet, which you could afford to lose.
That's right.
I agree. That sound about right.
I mean, at the end of the day, but, you know, like I say, you don't know what a man might, you know, everybody got a minimum. You know, if you can't meet that man minimum, we ain't got nothing else to talk about.
That's yeah, right. Brett, man. If you know Nephew run for $5,000, Brett, man, you ain't got but $1,000. You shouldn't be messing with Nephew.
But that's what it sounds like. Close. You know, that's basically the truth. I mean, but see, the thing is about you know who I am. You know that when I tell you I ain't got but $20, that's all I have. I'm not, and I don't
right,
care.
But know I run for $50, you know me. Whether I know you.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there. You know, I know you run for $5. That's what you like to run for. When we do run, I ain't running for no. I'm just running for my normal bet, which you know, what that is. You know, people listen at the bread, man.
Well, don't be proud about what you run for. Put it out there. Everybody know.
No.
Whatever your normal bet is, put it out there. That's the thing. If everybody will go ahead and put it out there, let them know this my minimum right here. So we ain't got no business being on the show if you can't beat my minimum. Before we do any talking, before you call me, this my minimum. Now if you can meet my minimum, then we can talk. Now we can talk. You ain't gotta call me on no show to lock that in. You guarantee to meet my minimum, we good. If you can't meet my minimum, give me my $500 fuck off fee, put some gas in my truck, let me go on back home. It's simple. We grown people at the end of the day, and everything's simple. All things make it hard. Hard if you don't understand. And the easiest thing to understand, this is my minimum. And that's it. You can have all the grudge raisers in the world. You can park them in sessions. That's the $1,000 session. That's the $2,000 session. That's the $5,000. That's, whatever. That's the session. Park them in session. So a man know when he walk in that session, I know what the minimum is over here.
I think that's what I'm going to do, set me a sign out there. That way, they won't come to my trailer unless they got that in their pocket.
Brad, my question. Would you lock somebody in not knowing what car they have?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't lock somebody in not knowing. That's a ghost, and that's a ghost. I'm not a Ghostbuster. That movie went out back in the late 82. So, I can't do it. But what I will do, though, is if I've seen a car in person and the owner drives that car, the owner himself drives it, I will take a chance at, trying something with the owner. Because
that sound a little personal there now. That sound like you're shooting at somebody.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm just letting these individuals know. Don't get me wrong. I do have... I do bend the rules, I don't want certain owners to try me
they stay in their lead. They hire people like nephew. Yeah, from what I can hear, you been hired before to be a hired gun. It ain't meant for everybody to sit behind that wheel.
That's true.
When you can hire you a gun to go out there and take them 10 steps and turn around and say foul, then you're good to go. At the end of the day, you raising the car, you raising the driver, and you raising the tuner. All thing on it is a sponsorship.
I don't know anything about the personal side of it or who Breadman might be shooting at, but let me tell you, a lot of you got to go back to the whole grudge thing. And if you've got a grudge with a specific person, and that person happens to own a car, it's gone on for years. We've all heard it and been involved in it. Yeah, I'm going to run you, and we'll run heads up, but you got to drive. Well, that's because you got a grudge with that guy, and maybe you want to –
A lot of guys that own these cars have never ever went that fast, ain't never drove the car, probably can't operate the car, let the truth be told. Now you just want to keep it wild 100.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys probably ain't even been in a bracket car. A lot of guys get tricked into racing. They start in the street. Then they get a can, one thing leads to another one, and then, next thing they got a full-player red car over there. But they'll rather hire a driver, and I don't see nothing wrong with that. In that case, everybody need to build their own motors. Everybody need to build their own car. Everybody need to tune their own car. So you can't build a car and say you're going to go out there and outrun Tommy.
If you got
a grudge with a guy, and the guy own a car that you feel like you can outrun, run him. If you win, you win. You lose, you lose. If you beat him, you beat him in his car at the end of the day. If he wins, he beats you in your car.
I can tell you, I've messed with some cars who
you know, here's an example. A lot of people, and it was our deal, but Nard spoke for my car for a long time, and a lot of people believed it was his car, which was fine. That was our deal, and that was his and my business of whether he owned the car, I owned the car, if he owned the motor, I owned the motor, if the transmission, the converter, you know, maybe some of it was his, some of it was mine. No one knows that but me and him. So, but Nard was never the driver. I drove it. I tuned it and drove it. But I bet you very few people could tell you what I owned and what he owned in that deal, except for me and him. You know, so.
But when somebody ran the car, they ran y'all then. They, you know, you got people that drive down. I mean, it was like the old Jacks. Don't nobody go out there at that part, you know, I want you to drive the car, I want you to drive the car. I mean, there's a couple of them guys that they had on the car.
You can ask for anything you want. You can ask for anything
yeah,
you
yeah,
want.
You can ask. But now to keep it in reality, if you know they person got a high gun and then what they do, when I go over there,
well, that's the thing, though. I'm not finna go over here to somewhere where they got a driver unless, see, what you're not, I understand what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. But what you're not hearing me say is, I'm not the one that's going to throw the rock. I'm the run the rock getting thrown at. You feel it's stuck in the race because a man approached me that got the money to buy a car, but I have the money to do it all. Buy the parts, fix on it, get it to the track. I'm the sponsor, the owner, and the button puller. So I'm saying, hey, since you got so much money, you get in there, and I'm going to show you what I'm about since I'm so slow, since I don't know what I'm doing, or since I'm this. So lock in on that. So what he does is walk away from me. And that's what I want. I want him to walk away because I didn't want the trouble in the beginning. So it is what it is.
That go back to all the trash talking and all that.
Hold on, Shorty. 678-0758. Next caller. You're live on the Bread Man Show. How you doing this morning? What do you have to say about this discussion?
What's going on, Brett? Hey, man, I'm looking at lady, Brett. You know, it's just like, isn't there on owning the car, but why would you want somebody that you feel like can't even drive the car to get in and go down the track side? You know what I mean?
Well, I feel like this here. Why would he approach me knowing what I believe in before he ever approached me? Why would he come to me and step to me and tell me my car's slow when he can't drive himself? That's what y'all need to look at.
But that's been around for ages, Brad.
Hey, Brad, man, if I can't drive or not, that don't mean your stuff fast. If it's slow, it's slow.
So what you're saying is you got a grudge. You got a grudge with the person, not the car, and you want to deal with that person. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for it. I think that person's got to say, I can't do it, and you got to say, well, if you ain't going to drive, I ain't going to run you. And he's got to say, I ain't going to run you unless you drive.
I kind of look at it like the person that wants the guy to own the car to drive it. He's scared of the car. You know what I mean? He ain't scared of the driver. You know what I mean? It's basically like, if he can't beat the car, then say, man, I can't beat the car. You know what I mean? But pride getting a lot of people away. You know what I mean? They ain't going to say it. You know what I mean? They only way they feel like they can win if they get somebody they know don't drive the car. You know what I mean? Because if I'm at the track with my car and nephew there and I feel like I need somebody to drive it, if somebody said, you drive, and he's like, if I said, my driver's not there, I said, Nancy can drive, you know what I mean? If I put him in there and drive, you know what I mean? I feel like they have my best chance to win, you know what I mean? There ain't nothing wrong with
it. So what you're saying is Nephi's the new golden child hired gun? What's up with that?
I feel like if that's my best chance to win, that's who I put in the car. I'm not going to put anybody in the car, and I feel like I'm going to have a chance to win. That's just like
an
owner.
I got a new rule.
They don't feel like, if he don't feel like he can win, why he going to get in the car? You know what I mean?
I got a new rule. I ain't running nobody. I ain't running no car that has a nephew behind the wheel. That's my new rule.
Wow, Jimmy.
What's up?
Nope. Yo,
I ain't talking to you no more.
I'm going to let you know this, Jimmy. Me and your race were my best race the whole year, only because after the race.
Yep.
Well,
I agree.
So
we had a good race.
and it ends up how it ends up, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, like I said, I came to race, you came to race, we got a race off, and we're both happy with it at the end of the day. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I got no problem losing.
You know the best part of the last world? That none of y'all get hurt, first of all. Just keep it real, toe up. Both of y'all, you know, the same way y'all went down through there, y'all got towed back the same way. One no accident, you know, y'all fall down there, shook each other hand, laugh, you know, that what it's supposed to be.
Trying to run that now, but I'm saying, you know, when I come back out, because I've sat down and saved and spent all my money, and ain't nobody bought a dime over there to Bread Man. Not one dime did anybody bring to Bread Man. So I've done what I needed to do. Now what you're saying is everything's mine. I can make every decision on it. What you're saying is I should go out there and start grudge racing and just race anybody. No.
No, Brent.
I was not done.
Now, Brent,
not done, Shorty. I'm not done. This is my last thing. Every time somebody approach Breadman, they say we. Every time they approach me, I say I. Now you tell me, who can win in that, we or I? I'm listening. I'm
well,
quiet.
Well, Brad, you got an entourage, and I'm gonna tell you one thing I know about you. Now, don't talk about Brad. Now, first of all, when you start talking about grudge raising, you might be out of your character. That you know, all the time we don't have it. Some people made for bracket raising, some people made for class raising, some people made for grudge raising. With that being said, if you ain't no grudge raiser, then you need to stay in your lead, you know, and do what you like you want to do, you know. Go out here, bracket raise, go out here, class raise, and stuff like that. And ain't nothing wrong with that because you still raising, you doing what makes you happy. Not with everybody else happy. Don't go out here and grudge raising because somebody boosts your ego. Your color slow, bread, you know, this and that. I'm going to tell you one thing I heard somebody say that made all the sense in the world to me one day. Runner Davis was over in Phoenix City. Somebody came over there and told Runner Davis, "Well, man, we can run you head up for whatever. Run it there, it's gonna put a dial in on the side of your car, and you got that bet." So what I'm saying, Brad?
He's standing his lead. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, if you ain't no grudge racers, don't go out there messing with the grudge racers. I mean, even running top sportsmen, running Samo, AO, running, you know, whatever class, you know, whatever you want to run, I guarantee you, when you pull up beside somebody, everybody you pull up beside in the stage and lane at the light ain't going to own the car. Now, you going to use that same mentality all the way grudge raising, or you going to use that same mentality when you raise your head about it? That man don't own the car, so he don't need to be beside me. You know,
Let me open up this other line. 478-5467. Welcome to the Breadman Show. How you doing this morning?
Oh, God, I'm Breadman, man. Sorry about that. I didn't hit the one button. But y'all have a good show going on, man. Continue what you're doing, man.
Hey, hello, Kenny. This is Kenny.
No, it's James.
James. Yeah. Hello, yeah, James. Well, let me put you in the prayer room for a second. Man, you heard that lady say you in the coach, huh?
No, man, I'm out here working, man. My phone was on my hip. I couldn't hear nothing.
Oh, okay. I'm going to take you out of the queue. Doo, doo, doo.
All right.
Go ahead.
We got another caller. Hold on. 706-2292. Good afternoon.
Oh, man, welcome. You know this me. This dog here. How everybody doing? Look here, man.
What's
I've been listening
up,
to this girl? Stuff all day. What y'all fail to realize, and y'all jumping on bread, man. All Breadman is saying is, if you ain't driving your car, I don't want to, you know, don't come talking no shit to me. That's all he's saying is just don't talk no trash to me if you ain't the driver of the car. He's talking about like, for instance, Stone Cold come up here talking about what he can do to him. Stone Cold, you can't do nothing to me because you ain't driving your car. So what Breadman says, just leave me alone. And if nephew want to come talk shit to me, then that's a different scenario. That's all he's saying, y'all.
But no,
no, get your ass behind the seat, and then let's see how fast you is. That's all he's saying. He ain't trying to tell you what to do or who to race or what not to race. He's just trying to tell you if you can't do it yourself, don't come talk to me because I'm doing it myself.
Yeah, I can see it that way.
Godfather to straighten it out. Take the Godfather to straighten it out. Good gracious.
Godfather, Bread Man needs to sit his ass down somewhere, huh?
No, nephew, don't get too big for your pants. Now, what he's saying is, he's right now. It's a lot of people out there. What he's trying to say is, don't beat your chest if you can't, goddamn it, if you ain't got your chest. It ain't your chest you're beating. Beat your own chest, he's saying. That's all he's asking. And he ain't messing with you. He ain't trying to raise you.
No. I know you. No.
He just said, hey, if you're going to talk to trash and talk to me, then I'm doing it on my own. You need to get in there and do it on your own then. That's all he's saying.
That's all I saying? What do you, dog, what do you feel about, you know, outbetting the man and stuff like that? What do you feel about that, the money?
Well, just like everybody on the phone already said, that shit comes with the territory. Normally, eight out of ten times, when a guy trying to outbet you, he don't want to run you no damn way.
Oh, exactly. Hey, Ducky.
Shit. Eight out of ten times, a man don't want to run you no way. See, just like right now, like you said, Jimmy and Nephew. Nephew and Jimmy can talk shit and then joke. Now, Jimmy don't like Nephew kicking his ass, but then they still can laugh and joke about it, and that's all it is. They having fun. Jimmy want his ass back now. If Jimmy get a chance to get him back, don't think Jimmy ain't got that bull's out on his back now.
That's right.
All that old Big Ben. Some people bet a big money. But most of the time, normally, 8 out of 10 times, when a guy tries to big bet you, he don't want to run you no damn way.
That's true. That's really true. I'm glad you got on
watch
there.
Them. Hey, you got to watch them two that are trying to fuck you up.
Come on, man. You know this show.
Now, if some shit going to go on this evening, and I don't know how it's going to go now, I heard somebody ask, would you run a car? As Breadman, would you want a car that you ain't seen? Just like this shit Tony Bynum trying to do. What the hell is Tony Bynum? Talk about the real shit. Now, see, now he was supposed to come on the show and log in. Then as soon as he said it was a nephew and him, all of a sudden, he ain't want to tell what car. Ain't nobody finna log in no goddamn ghost car. Excuse me, Breadman.
No, ain't nobody.
Nah. I wouldn't do that, though. Personally.
Nobody finna
log in. Tell me what you're talking about. A lot of shit can be... Don't have to go as far as it goes. All you got to do is tell me what you're talking about, and then we can go from there.
What time is this going on? 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock? After Ernie get off?
Tony, now put it on the internet. It's going to be on Pro Stock Joe Show. I don't know whether Mike coming on there or not. I don't know whether Nephew coming on there or not. But my point is, it's just a bunch of bullshit. If you're going to
Hey, Brett. Wait, hey, who said that, though, dog? I ain't been on there.
They ain't calling you here, Mike Hill. Tony Bynum talking shit to Mike Hill right now.
I read a little of that yesterday. But what you talking about, Post Star Joe Show?
When the Bynum came on, he said he'd be on Post Star Joe Show at 6 o'clock. At first, he said it was going to be on my show. But my point is, he know on my show, I'm like Bread Man a little bit. Just can't do anything you want on my show. I'm gonna let you be a man, but you just can't run my show like you can some other stuff.
Hey, Brad, add dog and nephew, what they think about that stock engine and that level and that police. Is that equal?
Right, man, this and that ain't no good difference. Huh? I think it used to be an advantage, but 2014 is no advantage, really.
Y'all go to mute. There we go. Now, go ahead, Nephew. We couldn't hear.
That's me?
Oh, yeah. That's you.
That ain't me.
All right, but that stock suspension and then all that stuff, to be honest with you, that shit done went out the window now. Only thing they worried about now is tire size. Because the rest of that shit is, goddamn, you be there all day trying to figure out what stock suspension and what ain't. Because there ain't no such thing as stock suspension no more.
That's true.
So, no, what y'all say, nobody don't have no advantage or a ladder bar car versus a stock suspension or a four-leaf?
We ain't trying to say they don't advantage. From what I understand, and Jimmy on the phone, he can do it. If you know how you tune that shit, it damn near don't care what kind of suspension you got. If you know what you're doing, you can make it work the same way.
Right. Especially in this decade, you make all that shit work.
Now, the point I'm trying to make now, though, the point I'm trying to say now is, it don't make no difference now. When they had a shootout, because if you go with the stock suspension, say it's a stock suspension, you go check somebody, ain't no damn about a stock suspension. So anybody got, you know, they go by the tire size now and let it go with that. Now they're going to start arguing about the tire size. Next week, we be arguing about what kind of wheel lugs you got.
Hey, what do you think they're going to cap out? What do you think they're going to cap out at with, dog, as far as the tire size? Because I know I'm going to run my car on 30 feet. You think I get into grudges with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing, Brad, cause, be honest, you're going to get grudges because people are going to say, okay, we don't know nothing about Brad, man. He ain't scared me. He ain't did shit. I'm going to try him any damn way because Bread Man ain't shit.
Who out there really grudging with 33 years old? You know what I mean?
It don't make no difference. If you come out there, who out there wear a polka dot shirt? But you go to goddamn someone to the track to see a bitch with a polka dot shirt on, don't you?
There it is, y'all. There it is. I'm glad you came in, Godfather, and straightened this out for me. I had him on here. Shorty, you got anything else you want to add? My dog on here?
Nah, I'm good. But like we said from the beginning, if you know where a man stand, don't go over there messing with him. I mean, if you know if a man minimal, it's fine. Don't go over there messing with him with four. If we know that you ain't going to run nobody that don't own and drive their own car, ain't no sense nobody come over there messing with you. That plain and simple. That eliminate a whole lot of time up on these talk shows and a whole lot of YouTube videos. That'll kill a lot of that.
And you're right. As soon as Bread Man come out of his 33 zone, I'm going to jump a devil in his ass.
Well, you know, dog, you want to know with me already, dog. You want to know with me, and you did this to me, and believe you me, I'm going to play this because this is what happened to me when I ran dog. Dog, I ain't forgot 2014 is coming near. And Bridge,
hey,
man.
I thought Jimmy Moreno and Nephew.
Yes, sir.
What you say, dog? You what?
Oh.
I thought that was Jimmy Moreno and Nephew.
No, you can't. Hey, now, hold on, dog. Now, the man did give him the back tie from the start now. I'm talking
that
about
the man.
Hey, the man know what he gave up when he accepted it, didn't he?
Yeah, when we went in, before we got in the burnout, we knew what the race was, Bray, man. What you talking about?
I know.
Hey, Bray, no, okay, now, Bray, hey, man, hey. I done told Nephew, now, I don't want Nephew to get too far ahead of himself. I don't want him to pat his own back. I done told how to be a star. You don't never pat your own back.
Hey,
is there anybody on the phone right now think they're a better driver than Nephew? That's including you too, Jimmy. Anybody on the phone think they're a better driver than Nephew? That way,
I know I'm
going to get Nephew some props since you want to pat his back.
I think I'm the best damn driver ever sat in my car.
Okay, now, Jimmy, you can't say that in your car now, because that's that plan in your car.
Don't, because...
Okay, Jimmy,
that's
a good... Hold on a minute, Jimmy, why you think you're a good driver, Jimmy? That's another good topic. Why you think you're a good driver, Jimmy?
I don't know why do I think I'm a good driver?
He took it up, man.
Will y'all be quiet? This is a good discussion. Sometimes you learn some shit if you listen. I could
eat more easily tell you what I think makes a good driver, but I don't know what makes.
I don't want to know that you're trying to cheat now. I want you to tell me why Jimmy Moreno thinks he's a good driver. Tell me that.
Because I'm calm behind the wheel, calm and comfortable, and. I got experience. That's about it.
Okay, Shouty. Well, Shouty's still on the phone. Shouty.
Yes,
sir.
Don't you drive cars too, Shouty?
Yeah,
I
don't drive.
I don't drive no more, dog.
Y'all just be quiet. I'm finna set y'all up so y'all, some of y'all can shut up sometime. Well, Shouty, tell me why you think when you was driving, you was a good driver. Tell me why you think you was a good driver.
I think I was a good, safe driver because I know how to get from A to B. I wasn't scared to lift, didn't care about a won or loss. You know, it's a lot of things. You know, I just felt like I was a good driver without hurting myself or without hurting the man beside me.
Okay, be quiet. Okay, now, Bread Man, tell me why you think you're a good driver, Bread Man.
Well, I'm a good driver because, for one, I ask the good Lord, you know what I mean, above to, you know, give me the skills I need to do what I do. And as long as I believe without doubt, I know right then and there at that particular time that I'm finna cut the wind light on. That's why I believe. because I have him that that anointed me to do this. I've been doing it for all my life. All
right, now I'm finna put goddamn it, I'm finna put goddamn it, nephew on the hot seat. Now, nephew, you heard all them people what they said. Now you tell me, nephew, what is the definition of a good driver? Then, what is a good driver, nephew? I ain't talking about yourself. I'm just telling you, what is a good driver? See that? But Jimmy was trying to tell me that, but I wasn't gonna let Jimmy off that easy. Tell me what is a good driver, nephew?
I think a good driver is a person that stay calm under the pressure and bring the car home in one piece.
Is that your definition?
That's my definition.
Anybody else want to give me a definition of a good driver? Anybody? Well, okay, Bread Man, see how quiet you get, motherfucker. I mean, excuse me, baby. See how quiet you get, Joker. Now this
well,
is
we're waiting on to hear your answer.
Now, hold on a minute, y'all. No, I ain't taking over Bread Man's show, but I'm just gonna show y'all something. Now I'm gonna tell you the definition of a good driver. Is every damn thing y'all said.
Yeah. But hey, that's why he's the godfather.
Yeah.
Now check this one out now. Now when you running against somebody, and depending on who that person is in the other lane, do that affect you? If you're a known driver to drive one sideways, crawl the center line,
hey, now,
get on the
car. I'm finna answer this from experience. I'm finna guess. If anybody said whoever they running it don't affect them, well they're a lie because it always human nature gonna make it affect you. See just like right now. I can use nephew, and y'all just follow what I'm saying. I'm going to use nephew for an example. Before nephew started re-driving, see, y'all don't know about nephew. I do. Before nephew started re-driving, I wouldn't give a fuck about nephew because to me, nephew wasn't no threat to me. But now that nephew is re-driving, and he's driving damn good, well, I'm going to start to say, well, I got to make sure my game is up to snuff. I got to make sure I'm on time. Well, you might get a joker that you don't. You might get Breadman. Breadman ain't drove in 2 years or something, and you don't respect Breadman. You might be a little bit more relaxed with Breadman because you ain't scared of Breadman as you is of damn Jimmy Moreno or nephew. So yes, who you driving does affect who you, how you drive. In my estimation, now that's the way I see it.
Well, what y'all think about that?
I take a different, a little different approach myself. Me personally. Just try to drive the same regardless of who I'm running. I just try to.
Now, what nephew said is right, and that's the right answer. But my answer was what I was trying to tell me was the real answer. On a normal circumstance, you can't tell me you don't get a certain amount of butterflies for this job and a certain amount of butterflies for that driver. Because I'm gonna use another example. Back in the day, everybody know Mike Hill was a killer. Everybody damn it. I ain't using Mike Hill. I'm going to use Running Hood. Nephew, you know Running Hood, nephew?
Yeah, I know Running Hood. Yeah.
Everybody used to be scared of Running Hood. Now, Running Hood was a black dude that used to fuck up all the white guys, but the only reason he fucked up the white guy was because he had a slower car, damn near on every damn race he had, but he used to kill that tree. And everybody was sort of affected when they ran Running Hood, because Running Hood back in the day was one of the baddest jokers on that tree in the world, one of the baddest. And that affected the way people drive. And nephew might say that, but nephew might not realize it. See, right now nephew is living in a dream world because he done got a rebirth. He don't give a damn. He go out there. He just like a young boy. Put it that way. Nephew, an old guy, acts like a young guy because he don't give a damn. He just ready to go out there and tear anybody ass up his side. So he don't realize it, that certain drivers affect him. He just go out there to damn try to tear a joker head off. That's his mentality.
Hey, y'all, check this out. Y'all, this is like you drive a car, nephew drive. If nephew get in there and make the car go faster than you, that mean he'll better drive than you?
I see that. That's a misconception. Every motherfucker. Damn, well, I'm sorry, Brad, man. I forgot these shows.
Yeah,
that's a misconception everybody got. You don't give a doggone on you the best driver in the world. You can't make the car go no faster. All you do is, if you're a good driver, all you do is make sure the car go from A to B. You can't make it go no faster.
If nephew get in and the car go faster than you took it, that means nephew better drive than you.
No, hold on. Let me answer that.
Because I've heard this question asked before. Here's the thing, and this all comes down to any driver. I don't care who you put Tony Schumacher in a car or nephew or dog. A driver, any driver, if they do everything they're supposed to do, they did their job. Only thing they can do in that car is either do their job or screw up. They can't do anything better than their job. They either did their job or they screwed up. You can't do any better than if two guys do their job, you're equal. If one guy can screw that race car up, but you can't make it better. So a driver's kind of, you know what I mean, that's where all the pressure comes in is, as long as you don't screw up, then you just did your job. That's
okay,
what you're
hey, Brayman, let me stop for a minute. Brayman, how much time we got? Because I know I heard you trying to get in there, because we can keep this going all night. This show just got popping. Now, how much time we got, Brayman?
We got 15 minutes. Go ahead, what you got?
Oh, shit, yep. 15 minutes, Brayman. How the show just not getting good, man. We getting good
no,
now.
No. Hey, dog, you and Jim Reed, dog, look at it. If the ticket don't lie, you know what I mean? If never
okay,
happen,
okay, let me say. See, Charlotte, that's what I'm saying. You a rookie in this game for his knowledge. Nephew can get in a car and say, for instance, nephew take the car 450. I get in the car and the car go 460. Okay, now, that don't mean nephew a better driver than me. That mean the car might be giving up. That mean the nitrous bottle might have been a little lower than the hood. That mean the tires might have slipped. That mean the transmission might be slipping and start slipping. It's a whole lot of things. The car might just not be ready.
Or, dog, you got it out of the groove.
Yeah,
so
you know what I'm saying? That don't mean
he's
a better driver.
You can't make that run better.
He went a quicker time, but that don't, you know, don't nobody sit down and say, okay, Jimmy, you run the car 10 times, and nephew, you run it 10 times. Let's see which one of y'all drive the best.
Yeah,
like
no,
he said,
no,
what
say
you really want to do is get a joker. See, just like me. Just like me. I told everybody in the world, I'm not a good test driver. Do not put me in the car to test your car to see how fast it's going to go. Now, you can put me in there to test it to see you get it down the track, but not how fast. Because that's one thing I just don't know ever since I've been racing, and it's just some because of my pockets the way they are. If I'm whooping a joker ass, I'm going to lift and try to save my car and not run it all the way out the back door like some people do all the time. And if I'm testing a car, it's hard for me to test the car because if I ain't got nobody beside me pushing me to test it, I don't push it to the. I don't push it all the way. I get out of it just the way I am. So I'm sorry.
No, let me just say, if you been in the car five times, nephew been in the five. If every time nephew get in the car, it go faster. For your money, who you want in it? You want nephew in, right? Because you feel like the car go
if
faster.
If you ask me like
in,
that, yeah. If nephew, yeah. But see, that's
but,
one
but
thing
you,
about
so
me.
Why
that's
why
one
you
thing about
nephew
me.
The better driver then.
Now, that don't mean you're a better driver because he took it faster. It just means on that pass it went faster. You ain't listening to what he said. I might, maybe I got it out the groove. That don't mean nephew a better driver than me because he kept it in the groove.
Maybe nephew fit the pound lighter than dog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the weight on the car, the groove.
Well,
it
ain't going to go faster if you cut a better light.
You know, the light ain't got nothing to do with
it.
It has a lot to do with winning or losing.
It has a lot to do with winning or losing, but the light doesn't affect the ET. You can cut a 200 light or a triple O light. It doesn't affect your ET.
But Jimmy, look, you know, and one thing now, nephew might be rolling in deeper to get more ET. I mean, stays in shadow to get more ET with dog rolling in further.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. That's why you don't worry about it. What you're doing, if you're an owner, okay, I'm going to put it like this, because we can talk about this all day about this.
We're not racing.
If you're an owner of a car, and the main thing that Breadman and Jimmy said, as long as you take that car from point A to point B and you don't wreck it, that's a damn decent driver. That's right there. Now, we all going to wreck. Nephew going to wreck, and he's probably wreck. We all going to wreck. But my point is, though, is that you look at the safety of the drivers. Like I said, if you see a goddamn dumbass out there, the car all out of shape, and he stay in it and take it on through, first thing you're going to holler, oh, man, he drove the hell out there. No, the bitch got lucky.
Yeah.
Man got lucky.
Thank
he should have got out the damn car.
And then a lot of time when you're driving the car, it don't feel as bad as it looks. I mean, even racing with Mike for years and years and years, we don't came back to the trailer, looked at the car from the back, and Mike said, man, I should have lifted. But it didn't look that bad. But,
yeah.
I mean,
you know, like nephew, I'm going to show you a perfect example. Nephew, you still on the damn phone, nephew? Nephew?
Yeah, I'm still on, yeah.
Okay, nephew not in Union. Nephew went out there, and the car was all, got out of shape a little bit. He got out of it and got back in it, but he was trying to win. Now, I went on there and told him. I said, you dumbass, You know damn well you supposed to got out of that damn car. And if you say, yeah, I'm right, you're right, I should have got out of it, but I was trying to win. Now, I can understand that he didn't wreck, but, you know, like I said, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't do. That don't mean he a better driver. That just mean at the time, to him, he wasn't in that much danger that he, like you just said, he felt like he could control the car even though it might have been out of shape.
A lot of what makes a better driver is when it does get out of shape, feeling it, in how you react, because there's drivers, and I've seen them from behind, not in the seat, but I've seen videos and I've seen them, and the car gets, they're good, they're comfortable, the car starts to get out of shape, and they freeze, and they lock their arms, and they lock their feet, and slam on the brakes because they're scared. Now that to me, is a dangerous driver. He may go 30 times down the track and do a great job, but as soon as something went didn't go normal, like it always goes, he got scared. And to me, that's a dangerous driver. It's not a good driver. It's somebody who needs a lot more seat time and needs to go through that a few more times.
Okay,
but
another thing I want to tell y'all too. See, now, nephew, I gotta get on your butt now too, because see, right now, nephew, you in the spotlight as a damn good driver. You should be mentoring all these other guys and letting them know this shit ain't easy as it looks. You need to be mentoring people because now they listen to you. And I'm going to say this to him. Now, I watched Nephew when he first got in that car. Nephew was nervous when he first got in that car. Now Nephew done got used to the car. You can see a different Nephew. I used to watch Nephew every time he drove that car, and I looked in his eyes. That motherfucker was, that joker was scared of that car at first. Not scared of for his driving, but he was a little nervous of that car. Now, if I'm wrong, Nephew, tell me whether I'm right or wrong.
You're right. Yeah, you're always nervous, dog.
Hey, dog. I seen him over there doing 60s and 330 in Carolina one night, and Mike turned that thing up a little bit, and when he came back to the trailer, he had a little glow on his mouth. He was like, God damn, what you do over there now?
But yeah, like, that's what I try to tell everybody when they first started doing that car. I said, man, they can't get that car past the tree. Man, they can't get that car past the 60-footer. Man, they can't get
they
that car past the 330. I told y'all every time what they did is took it slow. And every pass, Nephew got more and more comfortable with the car. More and more comfortable. And like I said, because, you know, if you was at Jackson a couple of nights, you see that thing leave there with about a 9-something 60-footer. Oops, I didn't mean to tell that. Had a damn good 60-footer. And you'll see Nephew get up out of it. You said, well, Nephew, did you get scared? No, it wasn't a matter he got scared. It was a matter that's all he was trying to do was go to a certain part. And Mike was putting a little bit more into it every run and every run and every run. So they finally got it.
He was doing what he was told to be done. The owner say, take it there for and shut it out there, what he does. You know, that's another thing. Guys got to follow instruction when they drive somebody else's car, too.
Now, just like right now. Now, y'all on the phone right now, I'm finna start some. It ain't going to start no trouble. I'm just going to show you another perspective. Y'all keep asking who the better driver. Okay, right now, if you ask me, now don't y'all already know. Y'all been hearing me bragging about Nephew. That's because I appreciate what Nephew doing. And anytime I see improvement in a guy, I'm going to say he's better. But right now, Jimmy Moreno is a damn better driver. Why? Jimmy got to go out there and drive the damn thing and tune it. When you got to drive them and tune them, how can you say who the better driver if you drive it and tune it? So if I had to take a man to do it, I'll take Jimmy Moreno before I take Nephew. Because if I go somewhere, damn it, all Nephew know how to do is drive the hell out of it. Shit, Jimmy know how to drive the hell out of it and tune it. So I got to get the best bang for my money.
I appreciate
my,
that.
My background, I mean, but I ain't talking about nobody, but you see my point, what I'm trying to make, though. You see my point. If you ask me to take which one of them the best driver to take with me, I'm taking Jimmy Moreno with me because he's going to tune that son of a bitch, too. Shit, me and Nephew, all we're going to do is sit out there and then drive him. I'm the same way. I can't tune that either, but I'll drive the hell out with him, but I can't tune with a shit.
But check this out, dog.
What you take, if Nephew got a car you own and went faster than the next man, would you take the next man out and put Nephew in and let him stay in?
Well, see, that's another thing. That it's no loyalty in this damn game. It's no loyalty. It's no loyalty. See,
I'm
right
saying,
now, hold on, I'm finna tell you. You don't let me answer. I got to give you the whole story so you get the knowledge. If I got a relationship with a person, and it got to be a reason why is Nephew even driving if I got another driver. Why is Nephew driving?
Let me
fucking finish, please.
I'm telling you.
I want you to get the doggone whole story. Excuse me for cussing, Brad, man, but they won't let me finish my thoughts so we can get a good discussion. Why is the other driver driving? Now, if the other driver couldn't go there and Nephew drove the car, Now, the man I got with me, that if I'm the owner and I got a man with me, my man going to be mad enough to come and tell me, he said, doggone, man, I'm driving the hell out of it, but nephew driving it better than me. Won't you let nephew drive it? That's what I would do. The same way I did with the gangster boo when I couldn't see. I went and got it, told him, hey, man, let him drive it because I can't do it. Now, but if my driver don't say that, I'm not going to take my driver out of the car just because nephew took the car faster one time. No, I wouldn't do that.
But see, a lot of people ain't down with it. You know what? One thing you hate to see is somebody lose a race and somebody come over there, man, that driver ain't shit. Ain't that?
That's what I'm talking about, Charlie. That's what I'm getting at tonight.
Right.
That's what
and
I'm
see,
getting at now.
See,
if everybody listen to me.
Because
a man,
when I
went out there and red lighted and stuff. Okay, I red lighted. Any good driver gone red light. Nephew gone red light. And then all of a sudden, y'all going to say, oh, nephew ain't shitty, red lighted. We all going to mess
you know
up.
What?
We
but,
all
but,
all
but,
drivers going to
hey,
screw up just like all tools going to screw up.
But dog, the man that's over there mad is the man ain't got a damn thing to do with the car, ain't here to drive or the owner, no money.
Hey, now I'm
got,
glad
know,
he said, boy, y'all,
hey,
you should have an extra show. I'm glad you said that because we get knowledge today. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Now, that's a dumbass damn owner, the dumbass owner. That he going to listen to that joke over there, though. He going to listen to him now. Watch what I tell you. Soon as he going to be all ears because that's what he wanted here because he lost. But see, you got to
right.
win and lose with your driver. You got to have your team. You win and lose with your whole team.
Here's what people got to realize, and it ain't no different whether it's your driver, your chassis guy, your engine guy. You got to do the way this game works. You've got to do the same with all of them. If you pick an engine guy, you got your engine guy. I'm going to use him as an example, and. You go out there, and he's done you right a little bit. You've got your motors. You run with them for a little bit. And you go out there, and he freshens your motor up, and you go out there first pass and burn it up. Are you gonna quit with that engine guy?
But you're going to have that joke over
I
the corner saying, oh, man, that joke ain't working.
I hope not.
Your motor blowed up.
Because what you need to do in this game is you evaluate. You got to take your time and evaluate your team, your group, your plan, and you got to say, look, I'm going to try this driver, and we're going to give this driver a shot, and we're going to give him six races. We're going to go test six times, and we're going to look at how we do over a six-time period. We're going to have this engine builder. We're going to give him a season, and we're going to run with him. If we're not happy at the end of the season, we're going to do something different. We're going to go to Fulton. We're going to go to somebody else next year if things aren't working out.
But you don't know whether
that motor failed because of a parts failure. Now, no engine builder can guarantee you that GRP rod ain't going to break. He can't control that. He can hope that he gets a good set of rods, and he can hope that all the parts are good, and he can check things out. But anything can happen. You can't – one bad thing happens. Your driver red lights one time. Your engine guy fails you one time. It doesn't necessarily mean it's all on their shoulders. It means you got to stick with it. And if you see a trend of things you're not happy with and it continues, you make a change. But
right.
you can't make a decision over one or two instances to change your whole program because something happened one or two times.
Well, you're right about that.
Jimmy,
you're
going to be chasing your tail.
Jimmy, you screwed up the two of them. You screwed it up, Jimmy.
You know what? A lot of times, Jimmy, if you ain't Fulton, Real Morrison, Nelson, all these big time engine builders, if you got a local joker and you probably can get pretty close to the same motor them guys doing, but if you feel somebody motor and go out there and something happens, you ain't shit.
Now that's another thing people fail to realize though. It don't make no difference about the name. All them parts the same. If you buy the same parts, if a joker know how to put a motor together, he know how to put a motor together. Every tuner, every engine builder got little tricks they do to maybe give you a little bit more. But that's everybody. That's anybody that know how to build a motor. A backyard man got a couple tricks he knows to make the motor run a little bit better. So you can't never say that, though. You just got to go with the doggone combination and realize what Jimmy just saying is you just can't get a one-time thing and say that's good or bad.
But, dog, you know for a fact, dog. If you could put one of these big motors together, duplicate to a Rear Morrison motor, and Rear Morrison put one together, and your motor go out there and something happens to it on the first pass, they're going to come out with them pistols for you. Rear Morrison, they're going to call David up. We're going to ship the motor back to you today, buddy.
And they're wrong for doing it, and they're wrong because until you evaluate what happened, what truly happened, was it an assembly error or not, you can't make that judgment. Did the car red light because something else had happened? Here's a good one. Was your driver still on the purge button when he had both bulbs lit and didn't even realize it? Was it something he did? Was it something else that happened? What was going on? Things happen. Everything's not always perfect. And that's, you know what I'm talking about.
Dog and Jimmy, you know, y'all guys been raised a long time, dog. Especially, I know you've been raised for ancient times. But I'm going to tell you one thing about racing. I know y'all going to agree with this. Everybody get their moment to shine. If you shining right now. You got to sit back and enjoy it. I mean, but in order for you to shine, it's a combination. The car working good, he working good, the tune-up good, the track was good down there. It was just his time, his moment. Now, they might come out next year and can't get a damn win. That weekend down there, okay, nobody take it away from him.
I'll find out something about that weekend down there. Now, I got dog on it. Now, I'm surprised I ain't heard Jimmy saying he wanted a rematch and been on him. Jimmy must have seen something he didn't like, though. Nephew must have put something on his ass that he didn't like.
well, I heard Jimmy's going to rerun it, but Jimmy had some problem with the car, right?
No, we had an instance, a little instance in the pits that got us a little set off. We actually locked it in to run it back, and something happened in the pits, and it just couldn't happen.
Okay.
With that being said, like you said, Jim, you felt like you can come right back that same day and get a win. But dog, you've been around Grudge Racing a whole lot, and you know, I remember back in the days coming to Orangeburg with the Baby Pro Mug, all the automatic cars. We raced back then.
That was the old days. Them the good days. You never see them again like that no more.
But we didn't go to no track and sit around and beg, ask this and that. We came, everybody came and met up, made a reasonable bet, and people raced.
Since Red Man's so nice and he don't want to say it, Red Man is about close. I know it's about time you can start doing your close out since we had a good subject going and you got to cut us off.
All right, dog, I got one thing to say to you, though, that I disagreed with something you said.
Go ahead on, brother. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I can deal with it.
You said something about, you know, all the parts are the same and the guys put it together the same. But I've learned over the past few years, and this goes back just the last couple of years, dealing with my engine builder and learning about different engine builders, so I've gotten more into the engines than I ever was before.
Okay, Jimmy, go ahead. I'm going to get you, though. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Something I've learned recently is how different. If I handed, I don't know, pick your whoever builds you guys motors up there. If I handed him a pile of parts and I gave, say, Chris Nelson a pile of parts, every part was there. And as all that engine builder had to do was assemble it, would the two motors be the same? Well, no. It comes down to machining. In the cylinder wall finish, the ring package alone, those two items can make a motor make a drastic difference in horsepower and longevity.
Now, Jimmy, we ain't wrong about that. What you said is right. That's what I mean about the little tricks. Just like if you got a dyno machine and I don't have a dyno machine, then quite naturally, whatever you do, gonna be your tune-up gonna be better than mine because you can dyno yours and I can't dyno mine. I ain't arguing with you about that, Jimmy. I agree with that, Jimmy. I agree with that.
Yeah, you could, and I don't know the numbers, but I'm gonna throw out there. Chris may put a 27 degree cross hatch and use this stone on his cylinder wall. And Rear Morrison may use this stone in 32-degree.
See, that's what I was talking about, the little tricks they do to make stuff better. Jimmy, that's what I mean. All I'm saying is you're right. You're right.
Along with camshaft selection,
if we both go to the Atlanta airport and you take the east route and I take the west route, we both get there. We just get there a different way.
That's right. Yep. That's right. So there is a difference. That's all I was trying to point out is I think there's
That's what I meant, Jimmy, when I said they all got their little secret to make some be a little bit better. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. We all, like I said, you know, some people live and die with Gene Fulton. They live and die with him. I mean, it might be a little trick that he might do to his fogger system or a little something you might do, like you said, to the cylinder walls or something. Them little tricks y'all keep in house, though.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. But there's definitely a difference. And people need to realize that is that when it comes down to those fine-tuning things, and we've seen it in our leak downs, and the reason I know more about this is because, you know, through racing my car and going through stuff and having leak down issues and correcting them and finding out what little things made such big differences in how the motor lasted and ran
right.
with the exact same parts was amazing to me as we went through a learning curve with one of my with my motor. And
Brad, man, I'm a savvy guy, Brad, man.
Come on with it, dog.
Brad, man, we got a good subject going, boy. I wish you had more time today, man.
No, we finna switch this thing up, real talk, though. I'm finna close all everybody mic down and leave the ones that only gonna give a New Year's resolution from all the callers that's on the line today. So if you don't wanna be clicked on, even if you got your hand up or not, I'm clicking on every one of them today because this is the last show of 2013. Somebody gonna say hello. This what I'm gonna do. And if you don't like it, you need to hang up right now. It is what it is. I'm muting everybody, Mike. I'm going down the list. Hold on 1 minute here. I'm going to put my little music on. It is what it is. We're going to all get in here and say what it is, what the real deal is. Where we at here, down here. Let me get some music in here. I'm going starting from the top. Starting from the top. 2900. Go ahead, 2900. Go ahead.
Yeah. What's up, Brad, man?
Yeah, we've been to close out. Go ahead and give us a New Year's resolution, brother, for 2014.
I ain't got nothing for you. I'm busy right now, but I hope everything go good this year for everybody. Brad, man, I'm out.
All right. Hold on a minute. 678-0758. New Year's resolution, sir.
I don't know, Brad. I guess this is don't look faster than I went last year.
Sounds good. Thank you for listening at 2013. I wanna thank you personally. Look forward to hearing you on the air 2014. Thank you. 478-5467.
478-5467.
New Year's resolution.
Yeah, Brett, man. I wish everybody to have a better New Year 2014 as they did in 2013. My New Year revolution is to get my robo-racing program back up and be out there engaged in the New Year.
That sounds good, brother. I pray that you be successful with that. I'll be looking forward to you.
Turn that old background music off, man.
I look forward to definitely seeing you on the track, sir. Come 2014. Thank you for participating. All right, 404. 404-1304. Come on with it.
I want to tell everybody Happy New Year. Hope they have a nice and prosperous year next year. But my New Year revolution is to get closer to God, get closer to my family, spend some time with some older people in the family, and come to a couple more races, and everybody have safe passage down the track. No wrecking, nobody get killed, and nothing like that, hurt, and nothing like that. And everybody have fun next year, and that's dope. Everybody make a little money, have fun, be close to their family. But definitely get close to the man upstairs.
You held on, Brett.
I appreciate your support, Shorty, all year long, 2013. I look forward to you definitely participating in the upcoming year, 2014. I appreciate you, brother. Have a happy New Year.
Okay. Thank you.
And I got my New Year's revolution.
Let me see here. 478-1809.
What's up,
Brett? What's up? What's your New Year's resolution?
New Year resolution. Go faster than what I was, do a lot more traveling, and dog and go down on his butt. Yep. He knows who it is.
All right. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate your support all year. Look forward to visiting with you in the upcoming year, 2014. Take care. Peace.
All right, Brett.
803-3563. Uh-oh. Hung up on me. 803-3563. Welcome to the Bread Man Morning Show. What's your New Year's resolution? Hello?
If they ain't talking, Bread Man, let's go, baby.
No, it's the... My shoulder seemed like I thought my show shut down for a minute, dog.
No, sir. We hear you right there. If they ain't talking, move it on, bro.
They joking here, boy. I tell you, going to mute on them. I'm going to keep going. 252-9986. Hello. Welcome to the Bread Man Show. What's your New Year's resolution? Hello?
He ain't paying attention, Brig. How many times you got to know that?
6:30, 15:51. Welcome to the Bread Man Show. What's your New Year's resolution?
Big Danny. Big Danny.
I had to come off mute, dog. What's going on? New Year resolution, man. Travel more, and as Uncle Larry said, fellowship with more guys down south, man, and everywhere else that I travel to, and see better races. And like you said, dog, these guys get to complain about the tires. Now they're going to complain about the lug nuts. Next, they're going to complain about the seats in the cars.
Hey, Big Danny, I appreciate you for listening in, man. I look forward to definitely fellowshipping again. I hate that, you know, I'm going to apologize to you. I'm just clicking on everybody's mic. It's a lot of them that hung up. But I'm glad that you had the balls to step up and say, you know, what your New Year's resolution was. I want to thank you for that personally on the show. From me to you, Bread
right,
Man, Happy New Year, Danny. Be good, brother.
Same to you, Bread Man.
8:43, 42.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much.
What's
going on? What's your New Year's resolution?
The first one going to knock your brother tomorrow, and then the next one going to be my new car at Mike Hill race in that 28-inch race.
Wait, who it is right here?
It's Christine.
Uh-oh. How you doing, my brother? How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Okay, well, you know, you get some get back. This right here is Christine. My brother ran him down in Orlando.
I know who it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, your brother got lucky.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I just want to let you know, Christine, it's three of us you're going to have to contend with. I just
well, it's all good.
The bald head assassin.
It's all over. I'm coming to win that race, and an 8-2 in Mike Hill race with my new car on 28. So y'all be ready.
All right. Well, hey, we look forward. I appreciate you listening in, man, and participating with me, man. We'll get up with you. Have a happy
Oh, yeah. You got you.
Let me get on down here. 708-63-69. Welcome to the Bread Man Show.
Bread Man, Dog Man, top of the morning, man.
Cadillac.
Good
Cadillac.
Year. What up? Hey, man, I just want to tell you, man, New Year's revolution is, man, we get better and unify this thing. This game done got tight, man. Everybody looking out like that. We show unity, man, and we do our thing and go out there and show them we can do things the right way, too. So
that's
my New Year's revolution. Hey, down on y'all head I come and I go. Win or lose, I'm still going to come by. Let's get something to eat.
With that bro ham.
That's it. Cadillac saying it. Good show, right, Bread Man. Man, appreciate you guys, man. Dog, you the man.
All right, man.
Hey, I appreciate that, Cadillac. Thank you for listening in all year, man, 2013. Look forward to definitely hollering at you in the upcoming year. Appreciate you. Cadillac, one time in your mouth. Ugh. Let me get this next one here. 404-6398. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
What up, Ray? How you doing?
Oh, hanging in there, hanging in there. What's up, Big Mac? What's your New Year's resolution, Big Mac?
Brad, just praying and hope everybody have a safe and prosperous year. Some losers, some going to be winners, but just all have fun. And one thing I must say is that if we, as people in this race game, fans or whatever, we need to find our place in this race game because we all have a place in the race game. And we just need to stick to it and stay in our lane and let whoever it is do what they do. And we just got to take our place and hold our ground.
Hope so.
So remember, stay in your lane.
I'm going to move to the next caller. That sounds like this could get pretty rough. I'm going to move to you. Have a happy new year. I'm going to move to the next caller. Next caller is 708-8961. My bad. I'm both jumping and hanging up in front of y'all. 708-8961. Welcome. How are you?
All right, all right. Fellas, I would like to say, hey, on behalf of the fellas up north here, Ground and Pound Racing, I want to say Happy New Year to all y'all fellas. And 2014, y'all going to see a lot more of our cars coming out. And hopefully everybody can have a safe and happy, prosperous new year in this good game. Yep. And I would like to also add that I really appreciate that inspirational vitamin that you give, Brad, man. I think that's right on point, man. I really like it. I enjoy your show and all the information that I've been listening to or hearing on the radio show since y'all started, man. It's very, very, very important, and I really enjoy it.
Well, I thank you, my brother. I thank all of y'all for allowing me to read, you know, from the scriptures to you know, the grudge race.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's rough as far as our tongues are concerned. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep it real. I have shortcomings as well. But I'm glad that y'all allowed me to be who I am. And by me saying that, what I mean by that, just to get short with you, if people see me at the track and, you know, they want me to pray for them, I'm that type of guy that will pray for you in whatever situation you have at that particular
mm-hmm.
time. I'm not saying I'm a preacher, but I am a man of God, and that, you know, that's something I believe wholeheartedly. You know, my family raised me to be that way. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I like I said, I do have some shortcomings, but I'm not a saint. I'm not perfect. And I don't look at other people as trying to be perfect. I just look to be around. And I think that this great community, if they can see me as being real, somebody who go to church on Sunday, might come home Sunday evening and get me a little glass of wine, but still understand that I believe in who I believe in, that's the type of person that is just getting a wine. But I want to thank you, brother, for stepping up to the plate. Guys in that didn't have their hands up, but I want to say we look forward to definitely racing with you guys from the north. Dog, you got anything you want to say to these guys up north?
No, man. No, Brad, I just going to say my final thoughts, though. You and Jimmy, outstanding show. And like I said, at Ground and Pound and the guys up north, man, they support, they tighter than we are down south, to be honest with you. They support us down here, and they support up there. So, man, so double props out to them guys, man. And again, Brad, man, outstanding show for you and Jimmy, man. Continue to do what you do. And my final thought that I want for all of us out here, police your own crew. Police your own crew. What I mean by that is if you got a man in your crew that's rowdy and out of line, police him up. Don't tell him what he doggone it want to hear. Tell him what he need to hear. Doggone it. Police your own crew, and 2014 will be a hell of a year. Brad, man, I'm still on standby if you need me.
Good, I'm good. Thank you, dog. I want to thank you. I want to say this here to all the listeners that are left on the phone. Dog has been with me from day one on this show.
And I want to extend the extra thanks. Without him helping me out and getting me through a tough situation, it would be hard for me. I know people don't probably look at Dog because his tongue gets rough sometimes, but guess what? On the flip side, he does respect those that respect themselves. And I want to say I want to thank him on the show for just supporting me and teaching me how to do this game of talk radio, blog talk radio. I look forward to definitely continuing to learn. I know sometimes y'all think, you know, I get upset because Dog is the number one talk show in the world. Well, guess what? If he's the number one and I'm talking and he's instructing me on how to do things, then guess what I'm going to be? Because guess what? He's number one all the time. But we can all still give thanks for him trying to push me to be as good as I've become in doing this. So I want to thank you, Dog. Last but not least, my man, Jimmy Marino. It's your time. Step up to the plate. What is your New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolution is to absolutely spend a little more time at home with my wife and my son. I spend a lot of time with my daughter. She goes to the races with me. Most people know her, or at least see her driving around on the golf cart. But I need to cut back on going out of town a little bit, at least a little bit, and spend some time home with my wife and my 18-year-old son and straighten some things out there. So got to scale back a little bit this year, and that's something I need to do. But I'll still be at the racetrack. Just I'm going to have to pick my weekends a little more. The only other thing I have is Dog. I want to ask you something. Did that deal we talked about earlier in the week or last week get worked out with you?
They said they wanted to get me and you and everybody on the phone, but I told them everything was good, though. If they needed to get me and you on the phone, they could. But as far as I know, like I said, my son was taking care of the leg was
okay.
On it, and they said it was good to go.
Okay, well, what I wanted to let everyone know is we are having a race down here February 1st.
We talked about it for a little while.
Yeah, February 1st, we are having a race at Palm Beach International Raceway. Quick Rick Productions, old school outlaw drag race, grudge racing, is the promoter. Longtime promoter down here in South Florida, does a great job with it. Dog is going to be there doing the hosting with us, it sounds like. That's what I want to make sure with him before I went out and said that, but I'm pretty sure from my end, I knew we were trying to make that happen, and Dog just confirmed it. So he's going to be down doing the hosting, and we're going to have some shootouts there. I know we're locked in on a couple different classes or classifications. There's going to be a 28 no wheelie bar on nitrous shootout. We're doing a 29-inch shootout. We're doing a donk shootout and as well as, I think, and it's not locked in yet, but I'd like to get everyone's opinion on it, OEM DOT tire class. Basically, if a tire, no drag radials, it's a radial tire class with a tire that came on a car. Real tires, you can buy a Tire Kingdom. We haven't finalized the rules, but it's a group of people, I'm sure, that fall into that class that could run that put some money up, and I think it's something that'll draw a great group of people. No motor restriction, no chassis restriction, but it has to be on a true radial tire, OEM tire, no race prep tires. So that classification isn't finalized yet. We're still working through that one. But February 1st, Palm Beach International Raceway. And we're also doing a Friday night test and tune early parking open to everybody. So Friday night, if everyone wants to get in early, get a good parking spot. And Saturday, love to see you all down in Palm Beach. Should be in the mid-70s, mid to bottom 70s around that time of year here. Probably cold up in the Carolinas and Georgia. So good time to get down here after the new year and come visit with us.
Jimmy, you don't by any chance have that address for that Palm Beach International Raceway, do you?
I think it is.
No, if you don't got it, I got it.
You got it. Okay. I know it's Beeline Highway, but I don't know the
17,
number.
It's 17047 Beeline Highway, Jupiter, Florida. That's 17047 Beeline Highway, Jupiter, Florida.
Anybody who needs any information, the flyers are getting out. The my cell phone number, if anyone needs it to get any more information, is 561-779-7340. You can contact me if you need any more information on it. Like I said, I'm assisting in it. I'm part of the deal with it. And we've got a longtime promoter that's backing the whole deal and putting it all together. So look forward to seeing you all out there.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jim. You, Jim, for a, we started this thing and we finished it. We got through with it, but, you know, without tech tips and things we've learned this year, hopefully, you know, you're still on board for next year. We hadn't signed any contracts yet, but definitely, you know, you still, hopefully you still honoring my contract for the things that you said. But, you know, everything's still good for 2014. We look forward to definitely fellowshipping with you in the upcoming days. Thank you, Jim, for your time and everything, man, that you taught me as well as when it comes to racing. So I want to thank you on the air as well. Appreciate it, brother. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
All right, guys, it's down to the bread, man, one time for your mind today. Bread, man, one time for your mind. Our inspirational vitamin. Continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. With that being said, y'all, I want to also add that I want to thank each and every one of y'all. I know I've been saying this here, but, you know, I really feel great about and having associates the way that I have over the time span in which I've been doing Blog Talk Radio. I want to also throw this in there for you before we get out of here. God knows about you is infinitely more important than what others think about you. Continue to show people in the best in you. May you have a blissful year. Y'all remember what I just said. Now, don't just think, don't just listen at the words, listen at what the words mean and this stuff that I be reading to y'all. What I'm basically saying is, y'all do you. Don't worry about these nay-haters because they're the ones that's motivating us to be who we are. And listen. Listen and following directions can definitely take you to the top of your game in 2014. I done said enough. That's all I'm going to say for y'all. I want to thank y'all and look forward to next Monday, the Bread Man One Time Show 2014. We look forward to visiting with you guys and definitely having you on. Y'all have a blessed one. Happy New Year, everybody. And thank you. The Bread Man One Time for your mind.